Good morning, and welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Donna Sebo, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. And as those of you who listen to the show regularly know, you need to have a pad of paper and a pen because there's always so much to share with you, and you're not going to want to miss any of it. So be sure you have that handy. By the way, later on in the hour, you will be able to call in to a toll-free number if you so desire, 877-876-5527. That's 877-876-5527. Now, today we're going to be talking with a gentleman who has a partner, his wife, and they've put together a marvelous book, and it really applies to today's world, job hunting, whether you are coming out of college or you're a person that's wanting to enter into the world of business on one level or another. Sink or Swim is the name of the book. New job, new boss, hey, you've got 12 weeks to get it right. I want to welcome Milo Sindel. He is our guest this afternoon. And then we have his wife, as I said, worked with him on the book. And her name is a very interesting name. It's Twee. And how is that spelled?
That's spelled, first, hello, Donna, to you and your listeners. It's great to be with you.
Thank you.
My wife and co-author, her name is Twee, and that's spelled T-H-U-Y. And she is Vietnamese.
Vietnamese. Fascinating. It's just such a unique name, and it just sounds so lovely. Okay, let's give my listeners some of the background that you have here. You're a senior business consultant. You provide a lot of guidance to various Fortune 500 companies. You've worked with Intel and Sun Microsystems, as well as many others. And you like working with strategy development and implementation, change management, organizational design. You like working on a global level, and you are involved in so many things. Your wife, Twee, is also a leadership consultant, and she creates customized leadership programs for executives and managers of Fortune 100 companies and many other leading companies in various areas of industry. Why was it important for the two of you to take the time to put together a 12-week program for someone that is going to be going out and getting a job? What are the stats? I've asked you a couple of questions here. So you answer them as you will.
Oh, thank you.
A couple of stats relative to people getting jobs, keeping them, et cetera. And again, let's go back to what I started off originally.
Definitely.
Why did you want to do this?
So let's start with the history. As you described in our bios, we both have a broad background in organization consulting, ranging from working with organization leadership to looking at organizational change and business process redesign. But if I go back to my roots, my first job, I was 15 years old, and I worked at a cookie store. And for some reason, I don't know what it was, but after my first week in the job, I had this kind of question that has kind of haunted me throughout my career, is how do you create work environments that truly tap in to the potential of all employees, whether you're a little cookie maker like I was at 15, or if you're, you know, a CEO. So how do you create those organizations? And Twee also started in the workforce at a young age when she was 15 years old. And so, you know, we met and we began to, obviously through the years in our marriage and relationship, kind of talk about our experiences working with corporations and working in corporations. And we both had a core set of values of how do you create really effective, productive work environments from both a business standpoint, but equally, if not more important, how do you create workplaces that really tap into the employees' potential and can really be wonderful places for employees to work and make a contribution? And so we kind of started with square one. Well, what's the most important time frame for a person? Well, gosh, we kind of had this, it's really those first 12 weeks or first few months on the job that has both an opportunity for organizations to really create strong, binding, lasting relationships and the right impression with our new employees, and also for new employees to a job to start off on the right foot, to make the most out of their potential and success, no matter if they worked in the best organization or the healthiest company or worked for the best manager or more of a challenging manager. With Thinkorswim, they have a plan that will lead to their success. So that kind of provides some of the background. The intent was really, and more importantly, was to really create a book that someone could pull off the shelf to start a job with and be successful. We wanted to create something that people would actually use and a resource that would benefit a lot of people.
Now, one of the wonderful parts of your book, and I say parts because you have many different sections. You actually go week by week by week. You have a guidance system, if you will.
Yes.
But you have a workbook format, which is very convenient. And again, for those of you who are just tuning in to our program today, we're talking with Milo Sindel, and the book is Think or Swim, New Job, New Boss, 12 Weeks to Get It Right. What are the stats about people making it in the job within those 12 weeks?
Well, we've got some stats that are pretty surprising and pretty staggering. You know, 1 in 4 new employees will not make it through their first year on their job, which is pretty amazing. There's also some interesting manager statistics. 35% of managers who change jobs fail in their new ones or quit or are asked to leave within 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
So these are... the first few months, the first year, is a tumultuous and challenging time. And it takes an average employee somewhat up to between 3, 6, and up to maybe more than a year to find the right job. So, gosh, if it takes that long to find the right position, and once you find that right position, it can be a tumultuous environment, you really need to set yourself up for success. And that's what we really try to address head on. In Think or Swim.
Having been on the side of being an employee, also being an independent business person, having involved myself with people that will work with me, and when you get different perspectives of the working environment, as I know you have,
mm-hmm.
you and your wife both,
yes.
it gives you the opportunity to look at different things. But you have employers who, and I hear this frequently, saying it is so difficult to find new employees. They just don't get it. People today are not willing to work. They're not willing to do this, that, or the other. Then you have the employee that comes into a new job, and this has happened to me in the years past, come into the job, and it's as if people expect you to know automatically what you're supposed to do, to just be able to absorb whatever needs to be learned with maybe 30 seconds worth of training. Now, both of those presentations are not of a positive positioning at all. And so what you have to do is figure out what you're going to do. So as an employee, and this is what we're focusing on right now, this is someone that is coming into a job. You have 5 steps, sink or swim skills. What are those 5 steps?
Well, as you mentioned earlier, the book focuses on the first 12 weeks in the job, and it's a week-by-week book. So One chapter is 1 week, and there are 12 chapters in the book. Well, to support your success, we focus on what we call the 5 critical sink or swim skills, which are goal setting, time management, knowledge management, being a team player skills, and image skills. And through applying and developing these skills, both in these first critical 12 weeks, you build a foundation not only for your immediate job, but also your whole career. These are what we call foundational professional skills that everyone should have and needs to have to be successful.
All right. Now, let me ask you this. When someone is going in to a brand new job situation, they are carrying stuff from whatever they've been in and involved with before.
Of course.
When someone is going into a new environment, how can they dump the stuff so that they really have an agenda? I can think right immediately of a number of individuals
mm-hmm.
that have followed certain patterns. They've gone into a new job, wonderful opportunity, and they're carrying so much stuff from the past that it bogs them down. How do people get past that?
That's a fantastic question. Starting a new job is a wonderful opportunity. It's literally a new opportunity. It's a new start. And to your point, so how do people kind of bring forward with them their strengths, the positives of their experiences, their skills, and also the contribution and their sense of optimism of what they want to create moving forward? It's a new beginning, having a new position. So as part of that, they need to kind of essentially create a blank slate. They're starting from scratch. And kind of what we recommend is that you take an inventory of, so what are your strengths, what are your skills, what do you want to contribute, and more importantly, what do you want to bring forward? And then, what do you want to leave behind? It's really important that you say, this is a new space, this is a new chance, a new opportunity. Leave your assumptions at the door. It's time to set a new stage for your success moving forward. And that starts by clearly sitting down and understanding what success looks like for your organization, for your boss, and for yourself.
And that means you have to be willing to open your mouth and ask questions, doesn't it?
Completely. And in terms of opening your mouth, we recommend that the first week or two, you ask a lot of questions at the same time. You spend a lot of time making observations. And you put your assumption button on hold. Leave your assumptions aside, open your eyes, open your mouth, ask lots of questions. And kind of just begin to just take in information. That's really the most important role you have during the first 1 to 2 weeks. So simply just get a lay of the land, get a sense of why you're there, of what the culture of the organization looks like, and then how you're going to successfully navigate that culture.
I love what you do with the first week. Your title of that section is Casing the Joint. And I just love that. I mean, it was like watching a Mike Hammer. just like, okay, we're going to case the joint. We're going to find out what's going on and who's thinking what, when, and where. Okay, this is Donna Sebo. My wonderful guest today is Milo Sindel. His wife, Twee, worked with him. They worked together on putting together this book, Sink or Swim. New job, new boss. You got 12 weeks to get it right. 1 in 4 people don't make it on the job. And often it's because we don't have the tools to work with so that we are going to be able to do the best for ourselves. Now, we're going to be taking a break. When we come back, you're going to find out not only about how to case the joint, we're going to find out how to manage your time, how you can immerse yourself, buckling down, igniting your star power, and, just so much more, including performing a reality check. So don't go away. We've got wonderful things to share. Again, Sink or Swim, new job, new boss, 12 weeks to get it right. Milo Sindel is my guest. We'll be back in just...
Enter the magical world of God's Kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown-red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Hello, Donna Sebo here. My guest is Milo Sindel. His wonderful book, and by the way, this was co-authored by his wife, Twee Sindel. We're talking about sinking or swimming. You've got a new job, a new boss. You've got 12 weeks to get it right. And so many people don't make it. While we were off air, Milo, I was chatting with you how much I appreciated the workbook layout that you have here for this. But also, one of the areas that I know I constantly have to be aware of, and it's a challenge for me all the time, And I don't know of anybody in business that this isn't a challenge for. And that's time management. And I told you when I was reading, especially on page 35, about how to work backwards with your time, how long it takes for you to get to your car, to your office, to get on your computer, and your travel time and all of this. And I was reminded of the movie Cheaper by the Dozen with Clifton Webb that I can remember seeing. And he had 12 kids, and he had a stopwatch. And he always timed them. He said, okay, who's going to beat what record? And I just thought, my goodness, do we need to have a timekeeper here to help us keep our time organized? What tips would you have to share with my listeners regarding time management, especially with a new job? Because most of us are just nervous wrecks when we start brand new jobs.
Very true. Well, I don't know if we need to go to the extreme point of having a stopwatch with us every single hour of the day. However, what we talk about in the book is really getting a sense of how literally you manage your time. And we recommend the first step in doing that is taking the concept of time from this amorphous idea of, you know, what is 5 minutes, what is 10 minutes, what is an hour, to something that's much more tangible to you. And we first recommend that you establish a routine. So you calculate, literally, how long it takes you to get the various activities of your day completed. In the book, Sink or Swim, specifically, we talk about identifying how long it takes your morning routine to get done from the time you get out of bed to your work. So once you translate, you know, your activities into specific amounts of time, a realization will kind of set in terms of, it actually takes me 10 minutes to brush my teeth. It actually takes me 45 minutes to get from my front door to my office. I always thought it only took 25 minutes. So it takes you from kind of being in time to being aligned with time and then managing your time. So obviously in the context of your first 12 weeks in the job, it's really important that you're set up for success and have enough time to get everything done that you need to get done. As you mentioned earlier, you're going to be running around. There's going to be a lot of things to take in, a lot of new information, a lot of new tasks, a lot of new projects. You've got to manage your time correctly to make sure you're delivering the right results and getting everything done that you literally need to get done.
I know people that tell me, I hate routine. Yet everybody's got a routine, even if it's a routine of wasting time. Everybody has a routine. And what you're saying is you need to be consciously aware of what you do. And that is something that some people would just say, oh, that's so silly, why would that make a difference? But it really does, because you can find yourself not getting the things done that need to be done.
And also, it's a building, and to your point, yes, we all have a routine, whether it's a routine that's productive for us or is non-productive. And when we're conscious of, A, how many steps are involved in that routine, and then, B, how long those steps take, it gives us the power to make choices of how we spend our time. So if it takes 5 minutes to run to Starbucks and get that cup of coffee versus maybe 2 minutes to make coffee at home, we can choose to make coffee at home to save
mm-hmm.
time. So it's bringing the kind of power and control of your time into your own hands because you have a sense of awareness of how long things take to do or tasks to perform.
Now, you go into, and I'm just skipping ahead a little bit.
Sure.
We're going into week number 2. You've gotten some of the basics. You're in the second week. You need now to find out about your resources. How do you archive the information? I mean, what kind of people information do you have to have? There's just so many things you cover in that. But also, it's developing relationships with the people that are working around you. My gracious, 2 weeks seems like a real short amount of time to start doing this. What do you recommend people do?
Well, it's very funny. I think it's as part of that clean slate I talked about earlier, the most important thing is, as soon as you touch down, is to start building relationships. It's never too soon to start building relationships. And the best thing is, you have the best reason in the world to jump out and introduce yourself. You're the new person. Take advantage of it. So now is the time. It's those first weeks that are critical into building those relationships, exploring and gathering information, because at this point, you're not really a threat to anybody. There's no opportunity for them to guard their turf because you're simply the new guy who's looking to reach out and introduce themselves. So now's the time to do it.
Now, you make a section in your book that I think is absolutely invaluable. I think people, whether they're in business or not, on the job, at home, it applies everywhere. And it's regarding email and phone etiquette. And phone etiquette, man, that is so very important. And very few people use that. Maybe you ought to do a book on phone etiquette. But anyway, you've got some very good suggestions in here. What is phone etiquette in the working marketplace?
Well, it's part of the image and communication skills. We talk about both email and phone etiquette. And to focus on phone etiquette, I mean, there's certain expectations that you set. I'm going to say if you receive a message, it's return that phone call in 24 hours. It's pretty basic. Also, in terms of telephone communication, you want to be very clear and very specific of what you're trying to articulate, what the objective of the telephone call is, what you want from the other person, and then also, how are you going to follow up when a request is made from you? In today's workplace, where, like myself, I was working remotely for many, many years, all of my communication either took place by phone or by email. So it's critical that you have effective verbal skills and communication skills over the phone so that you can actually confirm the image you want to relate and ensure that you're being effective and productive in conveying your message in reference to making requests, in reference to making sure that you understand what requests are being made of you.
Now, I also feel it's so important that we talk about the email because I am thinking of one individual right now that works for a very large corporation that the people within the corporation, some of them, do not operate intelligently when they're communicating via email. And this individual had literally a confrontation done via email. And because it was email, it is considered a legal piece of documentation. And that individual that created the confrontation via the email was held accountable for that. And many people aren't aware of that. They don't realize that email is very significant, especially in the working place, in the workplace. So how would you recommend people look at email relative to that?
Well, email in many organizations has become the de facto communication tool. We will communicate via email way before we decide to pick up a phone sometimes and call another person. And so to your point, it's become of paramount importance that people understand both how to effectively communicate via email, but also really understand the impact of their email, not only from just simply building relationships or from developing projects or working together, but also, as you mentioned, the legal ramifications. In Thinkorswim, though, we talk obviously a lot about effective emails. Individuals I've worked with, some of them receive upwards of 250 emails a day, and if they see an email that does not quickly get to the point or provide the essence and critical points quickly or succinctly, it's going to be deleted. So in Thinkorswim, we talk about how to effectively craft emails so that they get read, so you can effectively communicate your message. And more important, we talk about some of the human sides of email and that things to avoid, like sarcasm. If you're working with a coworker you may not know incredibly well, you don't want to use humor. You don't want to use sarcasm because people can quickly climb the ladder of inference and assume something completely different than what you wanted to communicate.
Absolutely.
We also talk about, too, that sometimes it's simply better to pick up the phone, to make a request, to convey a body of information. And also, it's really critical that if you send an email out or if you're angry or irritated by an email you received, never send an angry email, ever.
Absolutely true.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Milo, we're almost out of time, and I want to mention your book again, Sink or Swim, New Job, New Boss, 12 Weeks to Get It Right. Now, your website is hitthegroundrunning.com, hitthegroundrunning.com, and you have some educational programs that are there. So for any of you who are listening to this broadcast, Make note, hitthegroundrunning.com. Milo, thank you so much for being my guest today.
Donna, it was a pleasure. Thank you very much.
It has been just delightful. Remember, sink or swim, new job, new boss. Hey, you've got 12 weeks to get it right. And with this wonderful book, you will have the opportunity to do exactly that. Don't be one of those 25% of employees who can't make it through their first year on the job. You don't want that. Donna Sebo here. We are going to be taking a break shortly, and when we come back, telephone lines will be open, and the number to call in to is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. We're going to be right back. Don't you go away.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and this is our Hour of Mind Power. And by the way, telephone lines are now open. I am a psychic, and if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, I invite you to give me a call at 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. And I know sometimes people are a little hesitant to call in because they're afraid somebody might hear them on the air. Well, don't be. It doesn't make any difference. But what I do when I do this, it's my way of sharing my talents with you. And as a counselor and having been involved in the work of mind for so many, many years, it's just a delight for me to be able to share it with you on the phone. And all I'm going to need from you when you call in to our toll-free number of 877-876-5227 is your first name or your initial, and then I always like to know what area of the country you are calling in from. I wanted to share a couple of thoughts with you, and this one I especially like because to me it is so important. It's what I believe, I think, that I do when I do my show and I share so many wonderful people and their knowledge and experience with you. Let me read it word for word, and this is how it does read. As we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. When we live life honestly, as our true selves, everyone is drawn to our true light. Now, that was stated by Nelson Mandela, and he was quoting Marianne Williamson. Nelson Mandela is a man that I think has so much to share with us, as many people who have gone through some very, very difficult times in life do. And I think the wisdom of understanding about what we can work with and what we're not able to work with, and dissolving old hatreds and fears and superstitions and ignorance, that's an ongoing challenge. I don't care what generation you're born into, it's always there. It's something we always have to be consciously present with. Fear, ignorance, and superstition are our three greatest enemies on all levels of life. And it's amazing how many times, even though something is not right, we hang on to it because we are so familiar with it. Let me give you a case in point. There was a photographer as a young person in his 20s. He really wanted to make a difference in life, and he wanted to be able to see how people could change their lives, and with the right kind of information, assistance, and help, they would be able to achieve their dreams. Well, he went into what I would call a ghetto environment, and this was out in a section of Harlem, I believe, in New York. This is many years ago. And he took his camera, and he interviewed about 20 different people. One of the people was, well, they were all about his age, in their 20s, some of them a little bit younger, in their teens. And he told them what he was doing, and he was doing a documentary. And he was able to get their names and found out where they lived and found out that there was one young woman who wanted to go to college and wanted to get a degree. There was a young man that was always in trouble with the police and was known as a thief. And there were a number of different individuals. Well, this photographer was doing this documentary because he had one agenda in his 20s, and then when he was in his 40s, he finished the documentary because he went back to the same area in New York. And lo and behold, he found the same people. Now, there were some that had died because they'd been killed on the street in brawls or some kind of activity. One individual was serving a prison sentence. But he managed to find a few individuals, and two of them stick in my mind most memorably. One was the young woman who wanted to go to college, who wanted to have a life, who wanted to get out of her ghetto. She ended up going to college, but what happened was she ended up going back into her environment. And even though she had a college degree, her mind was stuck in the sameness, in the ignorance, the superstition, and the fears of the environment that she grew up in. And she became literally a prisoner of her own thinking, even though she had a college education. The other individual was the thief, and he was still the thief. He was still robbing. In fact, the cameraman was able to document many of the things that he was doing. And he, at the end of the documentary, made a statement of sadness, because he said nobody that he was able to reach that had been in that environment 20 years before had gotten out of it. They, though they had spoken very strongly and with great, very great fervor and, boy, this is what I'm going to do to make a change, they really didn't want to make a change. They were far more comfortable being where they were because as ugly and as unpleasant as it was, they knew it. And to change and to go into something unknown terrified them. And he felt so sad because he knew that each and every one of the persons that he had interviewed 20 years before had had the opportunity. And out of the individuals that he met, not one had changed their patterning. Now, I know that doesn't go straight across the board, but the program was so poignant. He said those that had been very much addicted to certain substances found new addictions to get involved with. If they dropped the one, they'd go to another. You see, it takes courage to be able to clean out the garbage in your head, to clean out the garbage in your life, to disinfect yourself from that which is not healthy for you. And what that entails is personal responsibility. It means that you are going to be responsible for who you are, no matter what your environment is. There are so many wonderful people I've interviewed on the air that have come up through ugly, stinking circumstances you wouldn't want anybody to go through. But they came up, and they recognized that they had a choice, and they opted to be different. They opted to step out and away, and sometimes alienated themselves from family or friends. They didn't want them to go. They wanted them to keep their light, their talents, their achievement under a bushel barrel. They wanted to possess it and own it, and eventually that light would go out. It would just be just a mere flicker of the flame of greatness it really could be. So if in your life at this time you are feeling challenged, you're feeling suffocated, you have to ask yourself, who's responsible for it? And I think you really need to take a positioning of responsibility and say, it's yourself. Stopping the blame game is a very important habit to develop. And to develop that habit, then you have to give up being that person that I would call the whiner. If you find yourself going into that whining positioning of poor me, ask yourself, why you're doing it. And most of the time, it's a habit. Most of the time, it's so easy to look at someone else, something else. We can blame the government. We can blame our dog. We can blame, whatever we want to blame, our spouse, our family, anybody and everybody. But somewhere, you have to come to that positioning of personal responsibility. Otherwise, When you look back at your life, you will feel your life is a failure because you've never gotten out of your own personal ghetto, your ghetto of ignorance, fear, and superstition. And that is a very unpleasant place to be in. So how do you do it? Educate yourself. Put yourself in environments with people who are willing to step and move into the environments that you want to be a part of. What you want to be, look at those individuals that set the standard and emulate them. Understand, there is no human being on the face of this earth that is perfect. They do not exist. Perfection does not exist on this planet, period. However, when you emulate the best, you will develop those habits and those patterns that are going to empower you as a person. And that's what you want. You don't want to compromise. You don't want to be less than the best. And you don't want to settle for mediocrity. Not in the least. And that's what I like to think. When I'm bringing these wonderful guests to you, you have an opportunity to look to people and to be aware of conditions and situations and environments, not unlike what my guest was presenting today about how you can prepare yourself to be successful in a new job environment. That's very important. Claim your power. Acknowledge your power. Nourish it. Cultivate it. Refine it. Polish it. And your flame will burn so brightly people will have to put on their sunglasses. They'll go, ooh, who are you? I want to know more about you. Well, Donna Sebo is here, and I'm delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. If you want to give me a buzz at 877-876-5227, that's 877-876-5227. We are going to be taking a break. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, and let me see what I perceive for you intuitively. When we come back, I'll give you information on our guest that's going to be with us tomorrow, some people that are going to be coming on in the coming weeks, and a little bit of this and a little bit of that. So you're not going to want to miss any of it. Don't you go away now. We're going to be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Donna Sebo here with an hour of mind power. And in this last program portion, if you'd like to call in and chat with me, here is the toll-free number to call in to. 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. All I need from you is your first name or your initial. Then let me tell you what my mind will reveal to me, and I'll share it with you, and then you're welcome to ask any question about anything or anyone that you desire. Now, tomorrow we're going to have as a guest Gina Grip, and we're going to be talking about baking with Splenda. Now, Joanne is the lady that put this cookbook together. She lost over 100 pounds. She had a passionate sweet tooth, so she's going to be sharing some wonderful recipes, and you're going to be invited to join us tomorrow. And then we're going to have an open mic day on the 18th. Also, on Friday, we're going to be talking with Carol Frank. Her book is Do As I Say, Not As I Did. And if you're a business person, you are going to love this book because it is about businesses, individuals who run businesses, and their failures and their tragedies and their traumas and how they overcame them. And also what it does, it gives you insight on what you can do for yourself. Coming up in the following weeks, we're going to be talking with Carol Buckley about the only elephant sanctuary here in the United States. We're also going to be talking with Dion Wheeler, who is a former coach, and if you've got a kid that's wanting a sports scholarship, this is the inside track. We're going to be talking about investing in nanotechnology with Jack Olrich. And then Bob Berg gives us some wonderful insights on how to get referrals. Then we're going to be talking with Thomas Kolopoulos on smart sourcing, how to put your work out to get the results that you want. And then for those of you who love sports, you're not going to want to miss Jim Lomason, the shadow boxer, sweat, sacrifice, and the will to survive. We just had some wonderful guests. And tell your friends about the show. Also, if you want to keep up to date as to who's going to be coming on, you can go to my website, that's my email, donna@delphiinternational.com. My website is delphiinternational.com. You can go in there. You can find out information about me, the publications I have. Also, if you have anything you'd like to share with me in the way of a story, something like that, feel free to send it along. We're delighted to have you do that. And then also, if you want to find out about private appointments with me, things like this, all of that information is available to you. Also, don't forget, I have an 800 number. If you wanted to give me a call, 800-872-8852 is my office number, direct office number, 800-872-8852. Okay, I wanted to share with you, and don't forget, you can call in and chat with me. Then we've got 10 minutes left of the show, so you'd be able to call in and chat if you'd like. 877-876-5227. There are so many of us that have homes, and here we are in late spring. We're getting closer and closer to summer. The weather's wonderful, and it's the time to take care of fixing our home, fixing those little things that can cost us big-time bucks in repairs in the long run. So what we want to do is take the opportunity when the weather's getting nice to do those home fixes. Number one, you want to take and turn the valve at the bottom of your hot water heater and drain the water into a bucket to remove sediment.
Donna, are you taking eight calls?
I certainly am. Do we have a caller, Donna?
Yes, I'll put them on the line.
Oh, how fabulous. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
It takes me about 5 seconds to put them on.
Okay, great.
Okay.
So let me just finish this up because we do have a caller that's coming on the line. Remember, you will save a lot of money. You don't want to have a hot water heater that gets older than its time. So just flushing it out, letting the water run, and letting it go into a bucket, you get all of that yucky sediment that builds up in the bottom, and then it'll be just fine. So I have some other tips to share with you. Let's go to the caller. Hi, caller.
Hi.
First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
I'm Sandy. I'm in Vancouver, Washington.
Oh, Sandy, I'm so delighted that you're calling in. Now, the first thing that I am looking at with you is you've got a lot of work ahead of you. It's a very intense year. Now, what I find so fascinating with this is that the intensity is dealing with detail. You are going to need to be very careful with your time management, and you must deal with clutter. There is something here where I have all kinds of things all around me, and I'm going, I think I'm going to go crazy if I don't get this clutter straightened up. Take and set a timer, maybe 15 minutes in one corner of a room or in one place, and say, that's it. That's all I'm doing. If the phone rings, you don't answer the phone. You let your voicemail respond to the caller and then pick it up later. But do something in increments. Attention to detail. And for the next 6 to 9 months is what's going to give you the momentum for the changes that you want in your life. So I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to be aware. What question would you like to ask me this afternoon?
That's funny because I was just finishing up some painting in the little spots that we missed. Because I thought, you got to get this done because I didn't have to babysit my grandson today. So I'm going to get this done. I'm going to do it right now. And I started stirring the paint and started getting at the little spots that nobody wants to touch.
Ah, yes. Detail, detail, detail. What question, hon?
I was wondering, since I'm sort of a spiritualist alone in my life, was I put here with the family I'm in to help them spiritually?
I want to give you a different perspective. I think that you came into the family that is with you for the purpose of you discovering your own talents and putting them to use. Through the family associations that you have, you are allowing yourself to step up and into a whole new role. May I ask you your age?
I'm 50.
All right. By 52 years of age, you are going to have a whole new agenda. And your family, in many ways, is looking to you to be an example, although there are certain individuals within the family that do not want you to step out of your box of description. And
yes,
that's perfectly all right. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, because my husband thinks I is like the devil or something, and I said, well, you know, I'm not going to change what I believe in. And then he thought about things and calls me up from work and says, I want you to know that it's okay what you believe. I don't want it thrust on me, but I do love you for who you are. And I thought, well, thank you, because that's the way it's going to be.
Well, you know what? That was a tremendous step for him. And the key is, if you understand, you know, when you have a lot of psychic ability, oh, dear, we're out of time. Let me just quickly wind this up because we're finishing, hon. I just looked at the clock and we're out of time.
Okay.
So what I want you to do is be true to yourself. You're doing a good job. You're stepping into a whole new self. Be true to yourself. You're doing beautifully.
Thank you so much, Donna.
You are welcome. My goodness, we're out of time. We're going to be back, though, tomorrow. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Siebel. Thank you so very much for joining me today, and we have so much more to share with you even tomorrow. Turn on that light of yours. We need you. Even though the sun's out, a little bit more of that golden glow can make life a lot richer for everybody around you. Turn it on and live your life in brightness. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.